On this Easter morning, welcome to the Tiny Gospel Radio Hour, brought to you live by Poolsville Presbyterian Church, deep in the heart of Montgomery County, Maryland's Agricultural Reserve. I'm the Reverend Dr. David Williams. I'll be pastoring y'all for this Easter morning, where we are here sharing worship. It is a blessing and a joy to be able to worship together today, even if this morning didn't start quite the way it usually does. I'm used to waking up at about 4:30 in the a.m. and getting on my duds and drinking some coffee and drinking some more coffee and making my way on up to Sugarloaf Mountain, where we have, as a community, all the churches and the Ag Reserve and around have gathered in the cold and the dark before dawn to watch this special day get born. This is the first time since 2011 I haven't gotten to do that, and I do miss it this morning. We also didn't come together as a little church in Spear Hall to share in our morning celebratory meal, and we didn't watch our smaller ones scamper about in the community garden questing after little plastic eggs. All those things are different, but today is still Easter. Things are still the same. So in rejoicing for the blessings of life and hope this day, let's begin our worship. We had started out listening to the King's College Choir singing Thine Be the Glory, so we're going to step it up a little bit and now listen to the Poolsville Presbyterian Church tone chimes playing for us Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Let's listen with the tone chimes. Amen, and it's a blessing to hear our tone chimes playing. Tone chimes are hard enough to coordinate in normal times, but it feels like a minor miracle that we are able to listen to that together this morning, as we so often do. I've got announcements for us, but I just want to make sure that folks who are part of the church and folks who are connected with us, if you're interested in knowing what's going on in the church and in the community, As we support one another, as we continue our education efforts, and as we continue to work as servants of our local community, it helps us stay connected. If all of us are connected into our email server. So if you're not getting emails regularly from us, if you're not seeing our insert material, if you're not getting announcements, the best way to get yourself on that list is to email me at, let's see if I line this up right. Get that phone. There we go. At belovedspear@gmail.com, and I'll make sure you're on that list, so that you know everything that's going on in the life of the community and all the ways that we are adapting to this challenging time. Give me an email at belovedspear@gmail.com, and I will make sure you get that information. Right now, let's continue to listen to music that's coming from the heart of our small church. We're going to listen now to our own Jill McDonald singing for us, "I Know That My Redeemer Liveth." So let's give that a listen.
Thank you.
amen, and thank you so much, Jill. As we gather here in this virtual space on this Easter morning, it's a little bit more of a challenge. Getting going that call and response we have every single Easter. Kind of hard going back and forth with latency and all the other delightful things that doing this virtually creates. So as we get into our call to worship today, I'm going to ask you to prep a big, loud response. So I'll ask you to type out these words, but don't hit return yet. So you've all got that little comment box sitting there right in front, and I want you to take a couple moments here to type out the words, "Christ is risen indeed," with an exclamation mark. And you can all caps it if you want, because as we know in internet language, all caps means you're loud and emphatic. So don't hit return. Type out, "Christ is risen indeed," exclamation mark, and you can all caps it if you want. So as you're working on that now, let's enter into the call to worship. And when I say the words, "Christ is risen," hit return, but not yet. So let's go with that now. Let's begin our call to this virtual worship on this Easter morning of 2020. Glory to you, O God. On this day, you won victory over death, raising Jesus from the grave and giving us eternal life. Glory to you, O Christ, for us and for our salvation, you overcame death and opened the gate to everlasting life. Glory to you, O Holy Spirit. You lead us into the truth, and the truth this day is this: Christ is risen. Y'all can hit return. There we go. Christ is risen indeed. So let's now together continue our worship with God in prayer. Eternal God, here, together, separate but together, we praise you that your glory has dawned upon us and brought us into this day of resurrection. We rejoice that the grave could not hold your Son, and that he has conquered death, risen to rule over all powers of this earth. We praise you that he summons us into new life, to follow him with joy and gladness. By your Spirit, lift us from doubt and despair, and set our feet on Christ's holy way, that our lives may be signs of his life, and all we have may show forth his love. Praise, glory, and thanksgiving to you, our God, forever and ever. Amen. Having lifted our virtual voices and offered up prayers, we're now going to listen again to the musical offerings of our little community. Now, the Poolsville Presbyterian Church Choir singing Gloria in Excelsis. Amen for that musical offering. Let's now open our hearts and our minds to the hearing of God's word in Scripture. I'll be virtually inviting forward Elder Christopher Beyer to read us our first two passages of the day.
The first reading is taken from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, 14 through 24. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The second reading is taken from Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
I'll now virtually invite forward Catherine Beliveau, who's going to read for us a poem and a prayer written by Helen Steiner Rice.
A prayer from Helen Steiner Rice. God, give us eyes to see the beauty of the spring, and to behold your majesty in every living thing. And may we see in lacy leaves and every budding flower the hand that rules the universe with gentleness and power. And may this Easter grandeur that spring lavishly imparts awaken faded flowers of faith lying dormant in our hearts. And give us ears to hear, dear God, the springtime song of birds, with messages more meaningful than man's often empty words, telling harried human beings who are lost in dark despair, be like us and do not worry, for God has you in his care.
Thank you for that poem, Catherine. And now let us open our hearts and minds a third time to the hearing of God's word in Scripture. Today's third Scripture reading is drawn from the Gospel of John. I'll be reading John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. That's John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Let's listen again for God's holy word. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've been asked on occasion over the years what it is like to do an Easter worship every single year. Because every week during the year yields a different possible subject. There are always different scriptures, different texts. The world is offering up different things, but Easter, like Christmas, always has one theme, one story, one set of scriptures, always the same every single year. How can you keep doing the same thing, year in and year out, I've been asked. And, well, Easter of 2020 is definitely different. This Lenten season has been a season when the pattern and bustle of life has suddenly grown not the same. Our rushings about have been halted, or at least they should have been halted. You really should have halted that rushing about if you haven't already. And we find ourselves more and more enclosed. The space we inhabit is narrower. The world around us folded in, our movement curtailed, our days more the same. The world outside and our future all shrouded in the dark of uncertainty. We've been telling the story, the good story of this season, over the course of the last week, this Holy Week, and we left off the telling of this story on Good Friday, and where we left that was with the tomb, and to be honest, that tomb feeling has been hard to escape lately. We all feel it, that lack of movement, the sudden cessation of the patterns of life, and the experience of an enclosed space. The daily trips to pick up this or that, almost entirely gone. Journeys to our places of work or to church curtailed to the point of non-existence. And those things that give life to life, give spice to life. The date nights at the movies, meaning not Netflix on the sofa, but actually go out to a movie, buy overpriced popcorn, and sit there and watch something on a large screen in a space that is not the sofa on which you spend most of your life already anyway, that is gone. Live theater is gone. The going to favorite restaurants, gone. And replaced with what? With a sense of distance from the life around you as we walk across the street, not to get too close to someone who's approaching in the other direction of the sidewalk, and we get so used to distancing from one another in these last weeks that I find myself edging slightly away from even people in my own household when I'm talking with them, which makes no sense at all, and yet it's part of the way that we have adapted. And there are other ways we have adapted. There was Zoom, dear sweet Zoom, which none of us really had heard of, mostly as part of our lives 18 months ago. But now it's just ubiquitous. It's everywhere, letting us hear voices and see faces. And that's nice. It's pleasant. It's nice to see a familiar face and to see and hear. But it isn't quite the same. Zoom makes me feel like we're trapped in the Hollywood Squares circle of Dante's Hell. Which is a high, you know, sort of up there near purgatory, I'm sure. And then there is this, the place we're experiencing this right now, Facebook Live, which we do appreciate. We appreciate this opportunity to feel this sense of togetherness. But every once in a while, I wonder how much we would appreciate a church building that was equipped with randomly firing ejector pews. Will you be able to stay in worship before it fades out and disappears from you? Will I? Who knows? It does add some excitement to the way we do things, but maybe not quite in the way one wants. And all around us, life now can feel confining and closed, wrapped about with fear and uncertainty, clouded with the cold of distance and the dark of the unknown. And into that reality comes the Easter message we hear every year in John's Gospel. It is a message of opening up. A message that contains within it a sudden great inrushing of light and air, a leaping out of life where all was inert and cold and distant and unmoving. That is something we need to see and feel these days, because it's harder to feel that now, even if it's right there in front of us. We can struggle to see it and grasp when it will arise. We struggle like Mary. Mary Magdalene standing there weeping at that tomb. She had come in the dark of that morning with a set of expectations. Her heart was sure that what she would encounter was uncertainty and loss. She had only a faint vision of what that would mean for her future. The only certainty she had was the experience of cold, hard stone on a cold, hard morning, resting there in a darkness deeper than the dark it sealed within. That was for her as far as her expectation went, because that was not just the tomb she was approaching, it was what she felt. She felt enclosed, trapped, because her friend, her teacher, the human being who had shown her something that was hope beyond hope, a new path, a new way of living, he was gone. He was lost. And the reality she knew now was nothing but that loss. And when she got to that tomb in the morning, her sense of loss grew even deeper as she encountered the unexpected. The tomb was open, the stone was rolled away, but it wasn't for her yet a joyous thing. It was loss magnified. Now she didn't even have that place where he lay. And so in sorrow she rushes back to tell everyone who cares about him that things are not copacetic back at the tomb. He is gone. He has been taken. And so others came, Peter and the beloved disciple. They look around, they see nothing, and Peter leaves oblivious. And the beloved disciple leaves with a soul stirred to faith. But Mary stayed in that dark, quiet place alone. And then she wasn't alone. Strangers present in the tomb in her time of darkness, one at the head, one at the feet, 6 feet away from each other. And even if they glowed with the brightness of angels, she doesn't seem to experience that wonder in their presence. She is still feeling trapped in her loss, imprisoned by her confusion, entombed in her certainty that all is lost. And they ask her why she is weeping, and she tells them, not just of the death of the one she loved and followed, but that now she doesn't even have what she needs to properly mourn, not even a body. Though the stone is rolled away and the tomb is open and the fresh air of morning comes in, her heart hasn't embraced it yet. And then there is someone with her, a man she doesn't recognize. And he asks her, "Why are you weeping?" And she looks at him but doesn't see him. Her vision is clouded by her fear. He asks the same question, and she asks if maybe, just maybe, he might know where the body is. "Tell me, and I will take him away," she says. And then Jesus, right there with her, speaks her name. And she realizes who he is, and she knows suddenly that everything is opened up. And the heart of Easter is that opening up, that story of resurrection, about centering our hopes in life, about a new way of living that transcends and defies death itself. This is a story that first plays its way out in the empty tomb in a garden at the dark of morning, in this conversation between a woman and Jesus. Where there had been the closed, claustrophobic feel of death and fear, Mary was open to the possibility of something so wonderful she could barely bring herself to see it. And that, for us, every year, is the heart of the resurrection promise, and it is that same promise we proclaim this morning as we bear witness that things can be made new. Things can be right again. There is a time beyond whatever dark time we are in, but beyond this time itself, a time we don't yet know, but that rests surely and gloriously in the knowledge of God. And on this day we trust that our renewal in body and in spirit comes from God, who we know through Jesus and his teachings this morning. It comes from God's own Son, living a life filled with God's Spirit, and we, like Mary, recognize that grace and glory and promise as we this morning are reminded that we will be set free, as she was set free from a prison of fear. In this morning, we have a taste of what that is like. It is a welcome taste, a moment of delight, a reminder that even in the face of darkness, even in the darkest of times, that is true. This Easter morning represents our engagement with that promise, the promise of joy, the promise of renewal of our life. Easter morning carries to us the hope that those things that are most good and true will be restored. A hope of transformation, of a stone rolled away and fresh air rushing in. On this Easter morning, trust that every stone will be rolled away, that light will come flooding in, and life and hope lies before us. Be set free this Easter into that hope, for he is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. As the sun has risen above us this morning, my heart goes to the top of Sugarloaf again, because in that worship that so many of us have participated in the cold and early and dark of that morning, for the last few years, there have been two hymns sung. One, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, which our tone chimes have already offered up for us. But another one that has been sung in that service over the many, many years, every year, like a bell ringing, is an old standard called He Lives. And so we're going to listen to that now. He Lives, this sung by the Blue Rock Mennonite Youth Choir. Let us listen to that. And remember the joy of worshiping as the sun rises in the morning.
We serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near.
He lives, He lives,
He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way.
He lives,
He lives,
He lives,
He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing come at last.
He lives,
He lives,
He lives,
He lives, Christ He lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along that narrow way.
He lives,
He lives,
He lives,
He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within. Sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind.
He lives,
He lives,
He lives,
He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along this narrow way. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
That was the Blue Rock Mennonite Church Youth Choir singing for us, He Lives. It's one of the familiar tunes from the sunrise service that we didn't have, but that we remember from Sugarloaf Mountain in prior years. As we gather in this virtual space today, I'm just reminding folks now, as I do each week, that supporting the ministry of Poolsville Presbyterian Church is an important thing to be doing in this time. And so for our virtual offering this morning, you can go at your leisure to www.poolpres.com. That can, and at the bottom of the page, there's a form you can fill out to set up a donation to support the continuance of this ministry. There's also the option, the old classic option, which we still have right now, of mailing a check to us at Poolsville Presbyterian Church. That's P.O. Box 68, Poolsville, Maryland, 20837. That's Poolsville Presbyterian Church, P.O. Box 68, Poolsville, Maryland, 20837. All your support of this ministry is appreciated. Now let's open our hearts and our minds to prayer once again as we gather in and pray over community. I'll invite Elder Catherine Beliveau forward again virtually to lead us through this Easter Sunday's prayers of the people.
On this strange Easter Sunday, we worship in isolation from the confines of our homes, yet we are united in spirit and faith in your presence. We lift our hearts in prayer to you, Lord. God of the bright and morning star, God of the rising sun, God of darkness banished, we praise and worship you. For empty tombs, thank you. For disciples running with good news, thank you. For your presence, alive, powerful, resurrected, thank you. We celebrate your victory over death, over all the powers that would defeat us. Help us to grasp resurrection, to understand its power, to see its force at work in our world, overturning evil in us, changing the hatred within us, moving the world slowly, forcefully, bending us towards love and truth. On this day of great gladness, empower us to be your ambassadors, proclaiming good news. Good news in our kitchens and living rooms. Good news on Facebook and our virtual rooms. Good news in the fields and factories still working to provide needed supplies. Help us to be that good news, walking softly on this good earth, caring gently for all people, living hopefully into your kingdom. In the hope you give us, we name some of the joys we have felt recently. For Bill Byer's sister, Jerry, in remission. For Joe's great niece, Ashley, now cancer free. For Linda's co-worker, finished with her treatments and doing well. And for Sarah Defnet, doing well after her surgery to remove a melanoma from her leg. Today we think of all who are grieving, especially the family and friends of those who have died from COVID-19. We pray for the sick and their families, for all those suffering from depression, dealing with chronic health issues or addictions, for all those for whom social isolation is frightening and anxiety producing, for those whose bodies are fighting illness, for Bill and Jackie and Miss Edwards, for Kim and Elise and Sal, for Susan, for Neil and Gary, for Jan, for Roy, for Annie and Walt and Nolan, for Wendy, for Wid, for Sue, for Pat and Stan, for Lynn, for Ross, for Robert, and for Priscilla, and Rose, and Jean. We pray for our world during the COVID-19 pandemic. May our leaders make wise decisions, a vaccine be developed quickly, and may we heed advice from experts. In this world of broken hopes and dreams, we catch sight of your kingdom come, Lord, in the person of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns in us forever, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now, as our worship comes closer to closing, we're going to lift up a piece that has been pulled together over the last week by our intrepid music director, Monica, who has reached out both to our community and beyond to her community of friends to gather together a bunch of people to sing Christ is Risen, Shout Hosanna. It's a whole medley of voices drawn on all around that we'll now listen to in celebration as Poolsville Presbyterian Church's singers and friends raise up their voices singing Christ is Risen, Shout Hosanna. Let's give it a listen. It is just like being there in person. It's a lot like we've gathered together and blown the roof off, and I thought for a moment about pulling the roof off of that little model, but it's glued on pretty tight. It was a joy to sing that and to offer that up together, just as it's been a joy to gather together this morning and to share in this Easter worship together. And so as we prepare to step out into a world that is challenging right now, know that you are stepping out bearing with you this Easter hope, this Easter promise, that as enclosed as we may feel, there is at the heart of our faith the message that the stone gets rolled away. The darkness is not the end. That light and air and connection with one another is something that is promised us. Trust that in faith as you step out into the world this Easter afternoon. Trust it and celebrate it and let that hope carry you forward and bear fruit of resurrection hope, not just in your heart, but in every heart you encounter. And so, go out into the world in peace. Return no one evil for evil, but love, support, and sustain everyone all the days of your life. And let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your guide this Easter and all days. And now I'll send you forth with a little bit of music that seems adequately celebratory. So we're going to be listening as we close out to a gospel blues group called the Holmes Brothers singing, "Can't No Grave Hold My Body Down." Let's go out and enjoy this beautiful day together.
It was early.